From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Some Floridians are waiting up to 2 hours to cast their ballots in early voting. The state's vote was the crux of the contested 2000 election. So what does Florida bode this time around? We've got two reporters from the Sunshine State, Eric Dagans, a media critic for the St. Petersburg Times, and Mark Caputo, a state policy and politics reporter for the Miami Herald. Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Great. So let's talk about these early voters. They are rushing to the polls. Some people have had to stand in line in Florida for 2 hours. So, Mark, what do you know about how officials are dealing with this?
Oh, we just got off a conference call with the supervisors of all the counties and the Secretary of State. They all report that things are going smoothly, except that, yes, democracy has a price and early voting has a price, and that's waiting in long lines. The one thing we do know is that they're largely Democratic. In Florida, normally the absentee ballots that are cast skew Republican. The early votes skew Democrat. We're finding that now Republicans had jumped out to a lead. And as of yesterday, when you factored in everything, Republicans were ahead by about 12,000 votes. As of this morning now, the number of Democratic ballots cast has outpaced Republicans by about 1,000. So that's where we are right now.
Well, you have very specific information. It sounds as if people are taking this extremely seriously. What about the evolution? And, you know, I don't want you to belabor this point, but how much between the contested 2000 election, which, you know, kind of dragged on for over a month in terms of counting ballots and legal challenges, and now have voting technologies changed? Or are people using systems that are pretty similar to the ones they used in 2000?
Well, not at all. In fact, the legislature banned punch card voting machines, which were at the center of the butterfly ballot and also the caterpillar ballot that was in Jacksonville dispute in the 2000 elections. Then the large counties went to touchscreen voting machines in ATM style, but those essentially got banned last year, except for blind people, and now we're using optical scan ballots. So we've had three presidential elections with basically three different types of technology. So it's a little different now, but now there's a paper trail, a paper ballot, which can enable people to more closely track how votes were cast.
I would break in here too and say that one of the things that's troubled me about how our voting systems have evolved over the years is that they seem to be dictated more by political issues than actual effectiveness. One of the arguments against the current system we have, where you sort of fill in bubbles on a card, is that there seems to be more of a possibility for voter error. But our current governor, one of his big pushes when he was running for election was that we should have a paper trail, and it sort of became this political issue where people didn't necessarily look at what system would be most effective for Florida voters. I reported on our attempt. A bunch of news organizations in Florida went back and looked at all the ballots from the 2000 election and found essentially that because there was a confusing ballot in Palm Beach County that led to a lot of people voting for a candidate they didn't intend to, that was what really screwed up the election. So it's been troubling to see these voting systems constantly changed, but without a real focus on what the real problems might be.
All right. Well, we actually had some interesting conversations with a couple of newsmakers. We spoke with Eric Holder, senior advisor and senior legal counsel to the Obama campaign, yesterday about the team that his campaign is assembling. He said his camp is hoping for the best but preparing for the worst.
We're hoping that there will not be anything by way of voter suppression efforts where people will be challenged unnecessarily or where impediments will be placed in front of people who want to exercise their rights to vote.
We also talked to George Terwilliger, a legal advisor to the McCain campaign, and he's keeping an eye on the issue of false voter registration.
If there is a false vote, then the vote of every legitimate voter is diluted and the very heart of the franchise of democracy is threatened.
Mark, going back to the whole question of, you know, all of this early voting, what sense do you get of the teams that are building up? I mean, do we know if there were, for example, any observers, outside observers around these early voting?
Oh, in fact, we do know. The interesting thing about this conference call that was just held with the supervisor of elections from these different counties is that the poll watchers hired both by the Obama campaign and the McCain campaign, or the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, the poll watchers who are there to monitor everything are turning out to be a huge headache for a lot of election supervisors. apparently they're very nosy, they're getting in the way, they're snooping, they're getting behind the counters, they say, or almost doing it. And in Volusia County, in Deltona, the city of Deltona, two poll watchers, or at least one of them was probably a poll watcher, gotten a, quote, belly-bumping dispute where they almost got into a fist fight. So what we're finding is that both of these camps, while they're representing their constituencies, are also fueling some of the anger of their constituencies, and it's kind of boiling up into these poll watcher disputes you're seeing happen, and the election supervisors kind of caught in the middle of it, and they're grousing like, you know, these people are just kind of getting in their hair. The big question is going to be on Election Day about these challenges, these voter challenges. The way Florida law works is that you can essentially challenge someone as a voter, as being a legitimate voter, and it generally will force them to cast a provisional ballot, and then there's a whole other process to get that provisional ballot counted. So that could be a potential headache. Right now we're not seeing it, but it's Florida, so there's a high possibility that, you know, 8 p.m. November 4th, we're just going to be starting to get the results, and who knows what they're going to show.
Eric, what about virtual belly bumping? And by that I mean in the media. What trends have you noticed among the campaigns and the kind of messaging that they're putting out? You have, of course, Senator Obama taking a little break right now to go visit his ailing grandmother, Senator McCain in Florida. But what kind of messaging are you hearing overall from the campaigns? What are you noticing that, as a media critic?
Well, what's obvious is that they both have trained a barrage of television ads on the TV audiences in Florida. And McCain's ads, as you might expect, center on Obama's his allegations that Obama lacks experience, and also tries to raise questions about his judgment by referring to his association with people like former Weather Underground leader Bill Ayers and things like that. Obama has ads that try to link John McCain to George Bush and talk a lot about him voting with the president 90% of the time, and they even have a video clip of McCain himself affirming this statistic. So these are all messages that would not be new to anybody who's been paying attention to the campaign. And it's interesting to see this new poll that was released that was a cooperative between my newspaper and Mark's newspaper and a few other news outlets that indicates that independents seem to be swinging towards Obama because of the views about the economy, it seems.
I want to move on to one other issue, and that is very much along the lines of the economy. You've got the world stock markets plunging again today. Yesterday, former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan admitted he had too much faith in a free market economy. Now, for years, he was regarded as someone who could do no wrong. What did you think of his statements? And I'll start with you, Mark, yesterday, and the overall idea of falling on his sword a bit over his strategy around shaping the economy.
Well, if you ask me personally, it's nice to hear a political figure, albeit, you know, he was in an appointed role and he no longer is, actually saying he was wrong. One of the things we get in too often is mistakes were made. Things are in the passive voice and people don't actually step up and say, oops, or I made a mistake. In Florida, this is the state that the economy is basically built on the construction industry, and the construction industry has bottomed out. We've lost more than 100,000 jobs in a year's worth of time. State budgets, tax collections have decreased by about $6 billion in a year's worth of time. One in every 174 homes are in foreclosure. It's a hard-hit state by the economic crisis. Things are going slow. It's also a big state. It's not easy to get – it's almost as far to get from Pensacola to Chicago as it's from Pensacola to Key West. So we have all of these different issues that we have to face. You know, no longer are high gas prices bedeviling people, but people can't afford to buy new cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People are losing their jobs. So it's not a state where you can afford not to pay attention to the economy or not to try to fix it. Getting back to Eric's point, that was probably one of the biggest criticisms from our pollsters when looking at the numbers over McCain is that he wasn't paying enough attention to that. And now it appears he is.
Well, Greenspan told the House Oversight and Reform Committee that, quote, we are in a once-in-a-century credit tsunami. And again, this was a question that even he now is acknowledging of whether or not his decision to keep interest rates low helped create the housing bubble. Mark, you gave us a very detailed sense of what's going on. And I've been to different parts of Florida fairly often, particularly the Miami area, and just looking at all the condos with that kind of blue wrap on the new windows and thinking, well, what's going to happen to all those places that are finished but unoccupied? But, Eric, you get the last word in this. It's one thing to have people falling on their swords. It's another thing to rebuild the economy. What signs are you seeing of how things will be covered? Again, from the media perspective, have you seen changes in how the media is covering the economy, whether it's to be much more detailed or to be more people-focused? What are you seeing on that regard?
No. what I've seen is financial news outlets trying to capitalize on the incredible interest that we have in the economy. But what I've also seen is that pundits and commentators who were dead wrong about what was going on are the people who have the most visibility now. And I'm thinking specifically of CNBC's Jim Cramer. He's made a lot of mistakes in judging what's going to happen with the stock market, and yet now he is regularly featured on the Today Show. He's regularly featured in other NBC News outlets because there's so much interest in financial news. What I'll also say is I'm not as heartened by Alan Greenspan's admission, because this whole congressional hearing seemed to be about pointing the finger of blame at different people. Calling all these segments of the economy before Congress and telling them, you messed up. And of course, nobody's telling Congress that they messed up too. and part of what we've come to understand, I think, number one, is that the people who were supposed to understand how this economy was working didn't really understand it, from Jim Cramer to Alan Greenspan. They couldn't understand the effect of not regulating some of these really complex sectors of the economy, mm-hmm. such as credit default swaps. Okay. And the other thing we need to do is stop the finger pointing and have somebody step forward with a solution. And that's something that, frankly, gets delayed when all we do is have all this public blame gaming.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were speaking to Eric Dagans, media critic for the St. Petersburg Times, spoke to us from the Poynter Institute studios in St. Petersburg, and Mark Caputo, state policy and politics reporter for the Miami Herald, who joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Just ahead, community organizing in voting. This is NPR News.